Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast with Ken Williams. Each week, we dig deeper and discover the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining in and enjoy this week's conversation.
And once again, it's an actual conversation. We have Julia back with us. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
From Southern California.
Yeah.
Where I'm guessing it is not 6 degrees there, like it's not here either, but it feels like 6 degrees.
Yeah, no, it's been actually really, it's been a beautiful day. So well, the sun has been out. It's been lovely.
We've had the sun out, but it's just chilly. And in fact, I was thinking tonight as I was looking at my watch and the feels like temperature is 6. The actual temperature is 19. And I just felt this wave of gratitude that I don't work outside anymore. I'm not a FedEx anymore. I don't have to work out in this frigid weather. Yeah. And the weather reports are that we're getting a snowstorm this weekend.
I saw that. Like there's this ice storm that's moving across the United States. I saw that.
So probably missed you, but it may hit us. So yeah, we've got stuff in the works where I've already been contacted by my Elders Quorum presidency to make sure that we have people on hand to shovel walkways at church. And Marcine's been contacted by her boss at work that there's a possibility of working from home for her, which won't work because she's one of the flexible people that bounces between offices and her computer is at the other office. So there you go.
Of course. Dang.
happy January. Happy New Year, which we've had a couple New Year's-ish goals-related episodes. Now we're going to actually have a conversation. And as I often do when I have a question that I don't have an answer to, I reach out to other people. Tell me what you think about this, and thank you for being my target this time.
Of course.
I heard somebody say something probably today, when I thought about it, just reminding us that President Nelson, who's the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has given us an invitation to repent daily. And I think that that's a wonderful idea that I have no idea what that means. So I wanted to explore it because I don't know that I've ever been in a class where we've talked about what that really means. And the talk that he gave, where he referenced that, I don't think he really dug into, here's what I mean by repent daily.
Yeah.
And as I have been kind of reflecting on my own spiritual journey over the course of my many years, I was raised in I call it a checklist culture. That there's a checklist that you can do these things and you can't do those things. When we talk about repentance, I think we've had this conversation, Julia, in the past about the 5 or 6 R's of repentance that I don't even remember what they are because I don't buy into that anymore. But one of them is recognize, one is remorse, and one is make restitution. And I don't know what... I don't know, but we have this checklist idea, and the deeper I get into my understanding of faith, I don't think God operates on checklists. So as I went through my checklist of people in my head that would be a fascinating conversation, your name came up, so congratulations and you're welcome. And I would love to just talk about, what does it mean to have daily repentance? First of all, repentance and daily repentance. So there you go. I've talked for now 4 minutes and 23 seconds. So tag your it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting when you brought up this this topic. I thought, okay, I have a perspective here. And really... kind of ironic, when I was at the beginning of my self-help journey, actually probably about 15 years ago in terms of when I began, before I went to go visit all the shelf helpers and, you know, self-help in general. I thought, oh, I need to lean into my faith. I need to do this right and do this well. And the thing that stood out in my head is that I needed to understand the atonement, you know, I needed to lean in. And so I call it my atonement tour. And it took me literally, I spent about 4.5 years, almost 5 years on my atonement tour, trying to understand how the atonement could make bad men good and good men better. And that was the phrasing that sort of stuck out in my head. I think it applies to repentance. It applies to the atonement and it applies to the gospel, right? Mm. I think when it was originally stated, I think it was maybe David O. McKay who said it, and he was talking about the gospel. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I sort of assigned it to repentance and the atonement. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not a bad person. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything really wrong.
Right.
What's the good men better part? Like, I totally could understand. We all need to repent for outrageous sin, for so that we can get forgiveness and so that justice can be served. And that's where that charming little checklist comes in so handy, right? So for justice and for repentance and forgiveness, mm-hmm. it's the easiest way to get there, I suppose. But what's the good man better part, right?
Yeah.
And as I started to understand how the atonement works, what I understood it to be is not necessarily needed for sin necessarily. I mean, the atonement covers all sorts of things, right? It covers our weaknesses. It covers our illnesses, all of the other things, you know, any pain and suffering that we might be going through.
Yeah.
The atonement also applies to that. And so when we need the atonement, as I understand it, it's for any thought or act of independence. Independent from God, independent from the Spirit. And so when it comes to the idea, I recall when President Nelson made that statement in his very short conference address, where he's like, I have to repent daily. And what I understood that to mean is I have to align my will with God's will every day.
I love that way of framing it. Because I think a lot of times when we think about repentance, we're thinking about, I said a bad word and I need to stop saying bad words, or I had unkind thoughts about somebody and I need to stop having unkind thoughts, or I did something really bad and I ate a grape without paying for it at the grocery store, and I've got to somehow make restitution for that.
Dang, I do too. I've done that. Okay. I don't think I've ever repented for that. Oh, shoot. All right. Yeah. So I think it's more about alignment so that we can have the Spirit be with us.
Yeah.
So that we can be receptive to all that the Spirit brings, which would be, you know, personal revelation. It would also be feelings of peace and comfort and love, which would also be warnings as might be necessary, and all the goodness, you know, all the good stuff that being aligned with the Spirit brings. So I really think, and I think the point of repenting for your sins, the bad men making bad men good, and repenting for sin or repenting for everything that's, you know, ever been wrong, I think that is also necessary to put yourself in alignment with the Spirit so that we can be one. It's that at-one-ment with the Spirit so that we don't have to repent first to invite the Spirit. The Spirit can linger with us even a little bit longer.
So something that I don't remember my source, but I heard something recently where somebody said, what's the point in praying? Because am I going to convince God to do things my way?
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's the way we should look at prayer, because we're not going to convince. probably would be bad if we convinced God of that our way was better. But,
well, it didn't work out so good for Satan, right? Like right. that was the whole start of it. It didn't. Anyway.
Yeah. And I think there are patterns, that we can look at through history. But if we think about aligning our will with God and that's our purpose for prayer, number one, that changes my purpose. That changes my approach to prayer. Number two, I've heard this many times that repentance isn't a way for us to punish ourselves, but I haven't heard a lot of conversations about that. Most of the conversations I hear are more like, there's a penance to pay or that sort of thing. And there's a tangent that I want to get to at some point on that. But the other thing with that is that the idea of aligning with God is that's focusing on positives rather than focusing on negatives. And yeah. As a person who has seen better changes in my life as I focus on positives than when I focus on negatives, I think there's value in that. But the other thing is that there's a framework that I've been using for about a year, mostly consistently, where I start my day thinking about what do I need to focus on today? What are the things that I need to commit to doing, and how do I need to approach the day based on my commitment to myself? And so there are days that I don't have things on my to-do list, so to speak, or I don't have a whole lot there. And my commitment is to be present with my family. And there are other days that I have plenty of things that I want to get done. I want to make sure I'm working on my business. I want to make sure I'm working on my relationships. I want to make sure da da da. And so I'll approach that day differently. I'll maybe have, what's a good word? I'll approach the day with confidence, or I'll approach the day with certainty, or with curiosity, or with, I tend to come up with a lot of C words. But then at the end of the day, I think about the day and I don't necessarily analyze where did I meet, exceed, fall short, but I will consider did I meet all my commitments. So if I committed to, as an example today, one of the things I have on my list is to, I call it homework for life. And this is just, as I build my speaking business, which I don't have a speaking aspect of my business functioning right now. But as I build that, I want to have stories. And so I'm documenting every day a story, something that, for example, if somebody says, what could you talk about when it comes to fear? I could pull up fear on my list and I've got stories of ways that I've overcome fear, ways that I've succumbed to fear, or ways that I've dealt with fear, et cetera. So that's on my list. And I will not go to bed until that's done, I hope. So if I don't meet all those commitments, then I have to answer that question. No, I didn't meet my commitments, and I don't want to do that. I want to meet all my commitments. So, but adding daily repentance, or adding that kind of a framework to daily repentance, am I spending time every day better aligning with the divine, whether that's through meditation or scripture study or pondering or whatever it is. I like that idea because I'm not sitting there, okay, let me dig into all the negative stuff that I did today. How many bad thoughts did I have? How many unkind words did I have? But it's, where can I do better? So I don't know if that made, I feel like I rambled a lot on that one, but I love that, the idea of approaching forgiveness that way, instead of from a punitive.
Yeah. Standpoint. And I, you know, it's interesting as a life coach, you know, mm-hmm. that our thoughts, they constantly influence the way we experience our life.
Right.
And we have a lot of thoughts. I mean,
right.
30 to 60,000 a day, right?
Yes.
And because our thoughts come, they're driven automatically from this place of ego and from our survivor brain. The majority of our thoughts are going to be about, I don't know, they're going to be independent and they're going to be willful. They're going to be protective and they're going to be selfish. They're going to be motivated to try to get us to feel something. And right. I love the idea of, you know, deliberate or conscious alignment with the divine, with God, or following Christ, because it is kind of in opposition to all of those thoughts.
Right.
Because we have to choose it. And I think that, that the value that God places on agency, I mean, we know it's super important. He fought for it before we ever entered mortality, and he fights for it today. So it is the daily alignment with him.
Yeah.
The daily alignment with the spirit is choosing him every day and choosing that his will for us is better than our will for us.
Right.
Choosing. So it's not trying to convince him or not trying to, you know, talk him into our way. It is trying to love what he loves for us and want what he wants for us so that we can fulfill the full measure of our creation.
Absolutely. That's, I first of all, I just imagine a loving heavenly parent with all the dumb things that I think are better for me. And because I think about my own kids, that they want stuff that I know is not in their best interest. Captain Crunch, which by the way, Captain Crunch with chocolate milk. Oh, there's the breakfast of champions.
With chocolate milk. Wow.
Yes. But long-term, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. It's not going to be optimum for, you know, health and well-being.
But that's the kind of stuff that we would be praying for, and not that specifically, but the kind of thing that's not going to give us what we want. And so the interesting thing for me is that this also, aligning my will with his also means trusting him.
Yeah.
Because the only reason that I can think of, and maybe I'm not thinking of everything, but the only reason I can think of that I want my way over his way is that I think his way is somehow not as good as my way.
It's what we would have to think, right? It's what we would have to think not to want to align ourselves. But I mean, the truth is, that's may or may not be true. You can challenge me on it. But I think that sometimes following Christ, sometimes aligning your will with God's will for you, it's going to feel like a high calorie burn. You know what I mean? It's not pressing the easy button. It is putting a lot of faith and trust in the unknown, in a kind of uncertainty, but it also allows for whatever it is we're going to have to do, whatever that high calorie burn is going to look and feel like.
Right.
It also allows us to not to have to do it alone.
That's true.
And not to have to rely on just our own resources. Because when we align with him, we tap into that enabling power of the atonement, where he can provide us with added strength, with added capacity for whatever it is that we're doing.
So let me throw this out. Because the reason I think we resist anything, really, the reason I think, and I should just pull it back and make it about me and not about everybody else, because not everybody's going to have the same thought process that I have. But I think it's fair to say that part of the reason I resist aligning my will with his is because I think it's going to be the high calorie burn.
Yeah.
And what if it's not? What if I just go with the flow? And now I'm not talking about abdicating agency. I'm not talking about that at all.
Right. And I agree. I think.
Because I think that's a whole other conversation we could have. And I think that that's, I think giving up our agency in whatever form it takes is offensive to God, because it was so important to him in the beginning.
And because he paid such a high price to secure it for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. His son. So what if one of the things, so this is coming back to me because I put this in my homework for life. I think it was yesterday that we worry about how. We worry about how it's going to work out. No, it was today. I haven't even finished typing it. So I go in to my weekly temple shift, and I have a plan. I know how it's going to work out. I know how it's going to go down. And then somebody's sick. So I don't have all of the resources that I need to accomplish everything that I think needs to happen. And then things get thrown at me in ways that I did not expect. And I think it's going to go sideways. And of course, at the end of the night, I look at everything that happened and how it happened. And it was amazing. It worked exactly right. And so part of my resistance is, it's not with the end result. My resistance isn't the end result. My resistance is the how it's going to get done.
Yeah.
So let me just throw out an idea. You tell me if I'm off base, because there's a very good chance that I'm off base. Because we've had some conversations in the past on the podcast about how do you know what God's will is for you? And so here's me going out on a limb. I don't think he cares. Does he care if I work at FedEx or as a life coach? I don't think he cares. Does he care if I become an architect or a dentist? I don't think he cares. I think he can use whatever.
Yeah.
And so when I make a decision, and then when it's 6 degrees outside, I'm very happy that I left FedEx. I'm not working outside anymore. But I make a decision, and now I have an idea of what that's supposed to look like, that I'm going to have this schedule, and it's going to take this long for me to help people get results, and it's going to take this many clients for me to have the business built the way that I want. And that's the part that I think I can easily get hung up on, because it's, and again, I'm not sure that I'm necessarily calling the how God's will, but I spent a lot of time this past year thinking about goals. And when you set the goal, you set the target, you set the intention, however you want to describe it, the how doesn't work the way that you imagine. And it's just like when I go, I hop in my car and I decide to go to the airport, and there's construction. And so there are lane closures or street closures altogether, and I have to take a different route. And I can get there. It's just not the way that I imagined it was going to be. And so I think, I don't know if this is even making sense. But I think that once I set my destination, this is my destination, whether it's a job or a career or a whatever it is, take your pick. And I think the natural man just expects that I should be able to figure this out and I don't need anybody's help. And maybe that's where I'm processing this in real time. So
yeah.
Maybe that's why it sounds like I'm rambling, but maybe that's why it feels like I want it to go my way, because my way is not going to be the high calorie burn. My way is going to be the simple, but we don't grow with the simple. We don't grow with the downhill marathon. We grow with the hilly marathon, which I hated running hills in high school, which is why I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
But so there are elements, I think, elements of our process as we align with God, as we give up our will to Him, there are elements that, we're going to have the high calorie burn, because that is just part of life. Things are going to happen. The hard things are going to happen. And we're going to find out what we're made of. And then there are going to be the times where things are great and we're in a position to support other people and not be the ones that are supported by other people. Am I off base?
You know, it's interesting because I think that the hard times are going to come, period.
Right.
And there's going to be seasons of hard and seasons of comfort and ease.
Yeah.
We all experience seasons, right? And it's almost as reliable as death and taxes. Like, we're all going to have these seasons. It's going to happen. It's going to come. Right. We're all going to have hard. Life is going to get in the way. It's going to be hard for all of us. And we're going to lean into our own resources, because that's just what we do when we're running unconsciously on autopilot. We're just going to lean into our own resources. And what we find, and I think that it's proven out over, I'm going to say, everyone's experience, anyone's experience who can reflect on times of their life where they leaned in to the Spirit, mm-hmm. or to aligning their will, and times in their life where they just went at it with grit and with perseverance, all of their own stuff. And it always proves harder. It always takes longer. The hard is always going to be hard. It was always supposed to be hard.
Right.
Growth was always supposed to happen. And so we're provided with a life of distraction and hard and opportunity to grow. But when we do lean in, almost always, when we do lean in, maybe it's just the act of being believing and having faith and showing up scared, showing up tired, showing up worried and concerned, and doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. It always just seems to go, I don't know if it's smoother or faster or more easily at some level, because when we're leaning into that faith, even let's just say it, none of this exists. Let's mm-hmm. just say for a minute that there is no God. We're just here. It was random, big bang. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Nothing happens after we die. The act of being believing and the act of leaning into faith and the act, it feels less lonely.
That's true.
Even if, some people might call it a crutch, mm-hmm. our experience of the hard is humbling, but less lonely.
Yeah.
And then when we have those seasons of ease and seasons of success or seasons of confidence, if we can still lean in and still align, then we get to share that as well, right? Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know if it's good, it's of God. It always feels better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's no risk. There's no risk to leaning in and aligning. I imagine, you know, there's a little cartoon, and it's a caricature, right? It's a little girl, and she's got her teddy bear in her hands, and Jesus is kneeling in front of her, and he's got behind his back, he's got this bigger, better teddy bear, mm-hmm. right? And she's like, but Jesus, I love this so much, right?
Yeah.
and without fail, when we lean into our faith, whatever it is we are experiencing can be used to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people.
Yeah.
And that alone makes it better, a better experience, a more worthy experience, a more meaningful experience. Otherwise, the alternative is that we feel alone, that we feel resentment to the experience, we mm-hmm. feel dissatisfied, and we spend all of our time in misery and suffering, where if we lean in, even if it's a bunch of baloney, when right. we do lean in, we find more meaning. We find yeah. greater resources, greater peace, greater love, and greater ability to use whatever that experience is, whatever the heart has been, to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people.
So, I love that. And if it were a choice between it's all baloney, but my life is better by believing, I'm going to believe.
I'm all in.
Yeah. And if it's all true, then yeah, I want to believe because the
even better.
Things are going to work out better for me. So why do we resist it so much?
Because it's not our will. Because it's
it's that stupid natural man.
It's the natural man,
yeah.
Which is an enemy to God, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's human nature to want what we want and love what we love.
Yeah.
We're hardwired to want what we want and love what we love.
Yeah.
And so it takes some efforting mm-hmm. to align ourselves and be open to the idea of what we want isn't what's best for us. You know, so it's like
I'm sitting here thinking that I might want to push back on that, and I'm thinking through this. If God doesn't care what we want,
yeah,
then what if wanting what we want isn't the problem? It's wanting what we want when we want it, how we want it. That's the problem.
But if we just want what we want and we're going with it, then what's the point of even trying to align or put in a practice of daily repentance, right? There would be no point. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with wanting what we want. It's just being willing to open up to the idea that there could be some. Let's put it this way. I know a gentleman who is right a lot of the time mm-hmm. and who likes to be right.
Sounds like a lot of the me. Time.
I, you know, maybe if the shoe fits, I don't know, but
I am right a lot of the time.
How is the best way to know if you're actually right all the time?
Well, first of all, as somebody who's right most of the time,
right?
That's a question that that's a good question.
Well, I would offer that maybe the best way to find out that you really are right most of the time, all of the time, whatever it is to open yourself up to the idea that maybe you're not.
Yeah.
Because then you open yourself up to the information and the ideas and the inspiration that is out there available to you that can either validate or teach you what is right. So you get to learn and grow, and you get to validate that you're right most of the time, right? Like, so.
Just for the record, I don't think I'm right all the time. It just feels.
Just most of the time.
But that's true for all of us. So what we think feels so right to us, we just assume that it is right. And we don't understand why somebody else would believe a different way than we do, or vote a different way than we do, or have different friends than what we think are better friends or whatever else. So, yeah. So I think I'm processing here. I think what I'm coming away with is wanting what I want isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
But being open to the fact that what I want might not be what I should want. And if I should want something different, accepting that, being okay with that, realigning, and then going all in on that.
Yeah. What if daily repentance was just, hey, a prayer that starts your day that just says, hey, this is what I want today. Uh-huh. If it's not what you want for me, help me love what you want for me. Help me find my path to what you want for me.
Yeah.
And then I'll be all in. But this is what I want for me. So I'm going to step out in what I want.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with starting with this is what I want. And if there's something different that I should want, or something better that you want for me, then help me recognize that. Help me find it. Help me notice it.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's a much better way. As I think about the way that I'm approaching 2025, I like that. I think I'm going to try that. So
I like it too. Yeah. I like it too. And I like, I think repentance, because of the way that we have been taught repentance, you know, early on, and because we were raised by this checkbox generation, mm-hmm. I think the checkboxes actually sometimes are more, checking the checkboxes seem to come to me from a place of fear rather than a place of faith.
Yes.
And where repentance is concerned, I think it's really easy. I think that whole punitive memory that we have of repentance really has more to do with repenting out of fear rather than repenting in faith.
Yeah.
And I think the repenting in faith really is about alignment, even if it means, you know, it's not about apologizing, but I find myself in my own practice of regular repentance. I hope it's daily. I haven't called it daily, but I do try to align on a regular basis mm-hmm. with what God wants. I want to love what God loves for me. I want to want what God wants for me. I want to fulfill the full measure of my creation.
Yeah.
And when I do, you know, my options grow, my success, my feel good moments have a sticky quality that stays with me longer. And I like to think that what that is maybe just the spirit gets to hang out a little bit longer, and I'm a little bit more receptive to the promptings or the inspiration. And it always feels good. It always, you know, works out better than I could have expected.
Yeah.
And it always, and as long as I'm showing up willing, you know, as long as I'm doing the appropriate preparations, as long as I'm putting myself out there, as long as I am wanting what's good, mm-hmm. it always at least in my experience, seems to work out well.
Yeah.
And better than I could have manufactured for myself.
Right.
And so I just see there's no risk. There's only upside. And even though it is a little bit, it is uncomfortable sometimes. It is a higher calorie burn sometimes. I mean, I think it was Elder Holland in a conference talk one time who said something about you can't follow Christ so closely without tasting a little bit of what was in that bitter cup. I believe that. And I want to say I've experienced that, you know, to some level in my pursuit of following Christ. But I think repentance doesn't have to be sad. It doesn't have to be punitive. It doesn't have to even mean that we've done anything wrong, but we are willful, independent creatures created to be willful and independent. And so when I choose God every day, when I ask for Him to participate in my life every day, my days, they go better.
Yeah.
And they end better too.
That makes sense. So the tangent that I mentioned, I'm curious your thoughts on, okay, let's just say that I'm all in for me.
Yeah.
But I see other people that are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
They haven't, and I'll put in air quotes, they haven't repented. They haven't done the thing that I think they need to do to get back on track. They haven't, and sometimes I think it has to do with suffering. They haven't suffered the way that I imagine that they should have suffered or that I want them to suffer if I've been personally offended by their behavior or their words or whatever. Now what? I have a thought, but I'm curious about your thoughts.
Well, what other people, Byron Katie has that great quote where she's like, there's three kinds of business, right? There's your business, there's my business, and there's God's business.
That's
and
right.
and I think that where other people are at is exactly where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just at a different place in their process and in their journey.
Right.
And so I think where they're at or whether they're on board or not on board or whether they've repented or not repented is none of my business.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's interesting. I had this conversation with my children just the other night, my family. It was a discussion around the dinner table, and it was about all of those priesthood interviews. It was about interviews with clergy and how sometimes it seems to backfire, you know, or it seems to push people away rather than bring them in. And as we were talking, there was one point where I said out loud, well, I look forward to the day when we start to recognize that those interviews with our priesthood leaders or our clergy are not interviews with the person there. They're opportunities for us to check in on our relationship with the Lord. Right. And so if, you know, it takes the interviewer out of the relationship of the judgment of worthy or not worthy,
right,
or eligible or not eligible. I mean, we definitely need them to, I don't know, sign the card or pass it along, whatever it is that we're approaching. But it is always, has been, I think, about our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And people, whether they are independent of us, whether they've offended us, whether they are subordinates to us, or whether they are superiors to us, or whether they're in a position of leadership or clergy, responsible for us. You know, we are not subject to any man.
Right.
this is what I would tell my children, you know, they're not subject to any man, not even to us, not even to me or my husband, right? They are, and my children are adult children. They don't need me to tell them, you know, not to touch a hot stove or not to play in the street.
Not.
Right. And they don't need me in that capacity any longer. So at this point, they're not like, they don't have, there's no obedience requirement. There's no alliance or allegiance. There's no, and I would say that about anybody. So if I've been offended by somebody, that's for me to figure out. That's right. For me to resolve. And where they are in their journey, that's for them to figure out and them to resolve. And nobody's getting away with anything. I mean, God sees us do everything every day, right? So you follow what I'm saying. I just think that they are exactly where they need to be in order to get where they need to go.
Yeah. I love that reminder. When I was called into the bishopric, and I knew that part of that would be, I would be doing those temple recommend interviews and signing the cards. And that felt very heavy to me.
Sure.
And I got some great counsel from a leader who said, you're not determining worthiness. They're declaring worthiness.
Yeah.
And that changes everything. So the thought that I had, which I think are not inconsistent with what you've said, there's a scripture that I read a week or two ago that just really hit me a different way. It's the scripture about don't worry about the mote in your brother's eye. Or don't worry about the mote in your brother's eye when you've got a beam in your own eye. Take the beam out and then you can see clearly. And I thought, as I sat on that scripture for a little bit, I thought, once I take the beam out of my own eye, which believe me, there are plenty of things that I can remove from my own behavior. But once I take that out, what am I going to see clearly? What's going to be different? And I think, and I might be wrong, but I think that I'm going to see that it's none of my business to worry about their mote, to tell them about their mote. To your point about the clergy, they're on their own journey as well. And some of them may think that they're the judge. And they think that I'm going to determine your worthiness. And it's just part of their journey. And so, unfortunately, for all of us, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your religious background or you're going to be subject to people who exert authority over you in ways that are not appropriate or that are not.
Yeah.
You see this on YouTube or Instagram or wherever all the time. You've got police officers that do it. You've got bosses that do it. You've got parents that do it, certainly. You've got clergy that does it. You've got all these people. And so that's a whole different podcast episode. but I think you're right that what I do to repent daily, to align myself better with God, has nothing to do with anybody else. And everybody else's path has nothing to do with me. It's not my obligation to tell them how they should be adjusting their path, especially if they don't ask for advice, even though I have plenty of amazing advice that
And you're almost always right. To.
I'm so right so many times. But it's but that's a reminder for me as well. This, I've brought it up before, I'll continue to bring it up. One of my absolute favorite scriptures is the natural man is an enemy to God, because it's I think it hits on so many levels that we don't even recognize. Because as a natural man, I think I'm right, A. B, I think you're wrong. I'm not talking about you, but I think other people are doing it wrong. And so they should be doing it my way. And if I'm not careful, then I start telling people that they're doing it wrong. And that's not my place. It's not my place to declare that you've repented the wrong way, or if you've repented of the wrong things, or you haven't repented of the right things, or anything else. It's it's my obligation to, I think, teach by example. And sometimes my example may be a more explicit example than others, but I think we also have rules of stewardship, and it's not my stewardship to step into your life and tell you that you're doing it wrong.
Right.
But I will step into your life.
I think that's true. I think it's true. And I think ultimately, you know, when you take those beams out of your eye and you see clearly, and I'm speaking about myself and speaking about my own experience, but I think what you see, like what we have to gain, is the ability to see people with that eternal perspective, right, to see people as humans like us, to see people flawed and imperfect and trying, and to see people efforting like God would see them, and right, to maybe find some of that love that we get to experience when the Spirit's with us and lingers longer. Some of that love, we will see them with that filter of love as well. Yeah. And love always, I mean, I don't know, I love it when love wins, and I just think love should always win. And yeah, I think it's, you know, I think that's really the message about daily repentance and aligning our will with God's will. It's just because He loves us so much.
Yep.
So much.
I love it.
And so I think we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And everything we have to gain is just all of the good stuff. More peace, more love, more capacity, greater understanding, and all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's good, it's of God.
Absolutely. So. I love that. So my final takeaway, I guess, is it's going to work out.
And I It always does.
It always does. And it works out better than I would have planned. And aligning myself with God, I think a byproduct of that is that I realize that other people are doing the best that they can, and it's not my job. They have a Savior. They don't need me to be their Savior.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank goodness for that. So,
any final thoughts that you want to add?
I would just add that I love that it is not our responsibility. Yeah. I love that they do have a Savior, and that we have a Savior.
Yes.
And that we can align, and that all the good stuff is waiting for us on the other side. And when we don't align and we act out of independence and out of our own will, mm-hmm, you know, there is always repentance, and there is always, I mean, there's always the atonement. And whether we fall on the side of bad men who need to be good or good men that need to be better, you know, there's a place for all of us.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Right here. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. All right. Well, thanks for having a conversation with me and
always
sharing your insights. I love it. I love the things that I will take away, and maybe I'll open up to the fact that I could be wrong.
Well, if you open up to it, you're going to find out you're right more than you even think. So
great. It's nice to be right. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. We want to hear how to make the podcast better for you. So please let us know at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. That's ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?